Welcome to the So What Are You Reading podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie.
And I'm Alicia.
And today we have an interview for you guys.
Again, yes, very exciting.
We are interviewing Mary Margaret. She is the author of Time After Time, the Time After Time series. She's got three books in the series.
Okay.
So, and she's from Alberta, Canada. She's a
shout out to Alberta.
She's a mom of two beautiful girls, and she's an educating assistant.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to talk to her.
Is it educating or education?
I think assistant. It's education assistant.
I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
Period.
But we're excited to talk to her. So we haven't talked to an author. We talked to Tim McGregor a couple episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
I love talking to authors.
I do too.
It's like getting in behind the scenes.
Yeah. And they always bring like a certain like artistry mm-hmm. to it. Everybody's so different. And it just feels like, I don't know. I've always had this fantasy of being like a curator or mm-hmm. something. And this feels like that.
Yeah.
But I'm doing like no work.
Right.
Which is even better. Because they're just so awesome.
Yes. And I never thought that we would be talking to authors on this podcast.
Exactly. When we were talking about this, I had no idea that it would like become what it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we was just going to be talking to neighborhood people. Right. Not that the neighborhood people aren't lit.
Yes.
And I would like more of you.
Always.
I'm just saying this is not, I didn't
extra
dream
special.
In these colors.
Right,
yeah.
So we're excited to talk to Mary Margaret and get her scoop on things.
Mm-hmm.
So what have we been reading?
I was dreading this.
No.
I knew you would ask me this. I don't know if it's from the many episodes of experience, but not much. I'm being real honest. This week was so crazy between like work and everything, which I kind of told you about, and the car situation.
Oh, yeah.
The car situation. First of all, why my mama put my business out there in the big old family group chat? She's so trifling for that. Like, I didn't mention anything to, like, my extended family. Not because, like, I didn't want them to know. But, like, I just, you know.
Right.
I vented enough. I'm over it now. But, like, she gonna be like, oh, Lily, I know they jacked you down at the Target. How are you feeling? To, like, eight people. And then she put the picture of my car.
Oh, my God.
In the group chat. She's sick. She'll do time. She will do time. I don't know where. I don't know.
That is
but also,
messed up.
This is the woman who raised me. Like, she's the reason I'm so messy. If you think about it.
It's hilarious.
Because what is wrong with you? This be that shit. This is going to my tell-all. So, yeah. Not a whole lot of reading got done. Just, like, articles and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, Jonathan Majors is currently being outed as an abusive person. So that's kind of crazy because I definitely just saw Ant-Man and was going to go see Creed. My husband is heartbroken over this. He's like, dang, got to let him go. I'm like, shit, you eat that. Eat it up. Period. So reading about that a lot. This Gwyneth Paltrow trial. I don't know how I got sucked into that shit. But she's evil.
I don't know anything about what you're talking about.
It's a lot. Mm-hmm. So basically, like, Gwyneth Paltrow was an ass wipe. She, like, hit some guy with her skis on a ski trip. And the trial, like, I'm being very, very general with what this is about. But, like, it's absolutely insane. And I got sucked down a rabbit hole a couple nights ago with that. So, like, reading different articles, watching, like, videos, clips. Yeah. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff. I've just been into media, but not reading the books that have been unofficially assigned to me. Because I got so mad at that Killer Nurse book, I had to put that hoe down. Okay? Because it was pissing me off. Like, it's kind of a cyclical thing.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're in the years 2002. And so, like, I don't know. Like, it feels weird. Like, there's this one part that I really did like, though. One of the nurses that was at one of the hospitals had been, like, one of the patients that Charles Cullen had killed or whatever and got away with. the family of that deceased person was having the investigation going. The police just center in, the police and the hospital just center in on the nurse that was on shift that night. They don't want to look any further into it. The hospital doesn't want to look any further into it. So they just fire the nurse that was assigned to that patient the night of his death. And boom, that's it. They prove that there was like digoxin and all kinds of stuff in his system. And so they get rid of her. This lady was so pissed off because she remembered that night that she had seen Charles Cullen around her unit and was like, you need to get out of here. You're not authorized to be on this unit. Da, da, da. Like she'd had some kind of confrontation with him. Nothing serious, but like he was... At that point, even then, he was known as a bad nurse, like bad at giving medicine, bad at giving medicine on time.
Yeah, just you know, not a good
bad with dosing,
general.
Like
yeah.
not even like bad, like not knowledgeable, just negligent, like uncaring, doing whatever, like clocking in, going through the motions type deal. So nobody likes him. So seeing him on your unit. I'm sure she's thinking, oh, my God, he's going to fuck up some paperwork.
Yeah, right.
He's going to fuck something up. I'm going to have to fix it later. Yeah. I've already been here for 10 hours. So, like, it was that kind of thing, not I think you're a murderer. Anyway, dude dies. She remembers this and knows that she's been wrongfully fired. They didn't do an investigation on her. They didn't even take her statements about Charles that night into account because they were kind of doing the whole, you were the only staff member there. And she's like, actually, I wasn't. Several people also saw him.
Yeah.
They didn't take any of that into account. They fire her. She does her own investigation. And she was able to get lots of information about him and, like, the kinds of things that the hospital was concerned about prior to that incident that was just never talked about, never reported on. He never got disciplined for it, anything like that. And she made, like, a civil suit about it. So, like, that was really cool to see. But, like, not that it did anything. Like, you know, after all of that work, he just... By that, by the point that they were talking about firing him, he's already looked for another hospital job.
Right, he's already gone.
He's gone. He's like, oh, okay, well, it's getting too hot in here.
Yeah, gotta
you know.
Go.
Ciao. Ugh. I can't do it.
I can't do it.
I can't do it. And it's just, I mean, of course I'm reading this from 2023. You know, with my...
What year did you say that they were in?
Right now where I left off in that book, we were in 2002.
Okay.
This incident, I believe, happened maybe in, like, either 1999 or 2000. It's kind of blending together because it's so cyclical. But, yeah, like, looking at it from hindsight, it's like, I cannot believe you guys missed all of this.
Yeah,
but, like,
seriously.
You have to, I always have to stop and remind myself that, like, these hospitals aren't talking to each other.
Right.
They're not discussing... you know, employees that way, or if they are, they're discussing the best among them, maybe
not
the worst, you know, because they don't want to look like they're a bad hospital. Like, there's that, there's money, there's all kinds of stuff, and it just, as long as he's gone and out of their hair, they just kind of are like, ooh.
Yeah, move on from it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. They're probably going to tighten up their training, you know, do better hiring,
right,
and, like, just forget about him, and it's like, this is a criminal.
Yeah.
This is a criminal, like... Like, I'd be wanting to cry. Like, how do you... I mean, and it just confirms, like, a lot of the somewhat irrational fears I have around, like, medical care. And it's like, you guys. It's kind of like, I feel like people see, like, doctors, like, the medical field as, like, the same thing as parenting, where they expect every single person
to
be
right
the best
perfect.
At their
yeah.
job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, they're not. Not everyone
right, yeah.
that pursues this thing... should have access
yeah.
to it.
Yeah.
Like, some people just shouldn't be parents. Should not. Could never. Aren't that girl. Some people shouldn't be nurses. And y'all be like, well, he's been a nurse.
That don't make
so
it
So we're
okay,
gonna
right.
let him be a nurse over here. And it's like, no. So, yeah. Not much reading otherwise. But I'm very upset about a lot of things. So what have you been reading?
Well, I finished the Flip Flops and Murder.
We
found out who the killer was.
Yes, yes, yes. I was so upset when you told me about this.
The killer was the waitress. I think her name
But honestly, good for her.
Yeah, I think her name was Maria. She did it. And you know what was so funny? So Maria, she was an author. Well, she was like a coming up-and-coming author, a wannabe. She had written a story, and she gave it to Lillian Fox. And Lillian Fox had told her that it wasn't a good story, but then took the story and wrote it as her and used it as her own.
Yes.
So that's why Marie had killed her.
Had to get rid of that bitch. And it's like, imagine you find out your biggest rival is a plagiarizing ass bitch.
And she was like, well, she was like, she loved Lillian Fox. She was like, Maria was like Lillian Fox's biggest fan. She was like, I'm going to give
her. But that's how that goes.
Yeah, she was like, I'm going to give her my thing. And she was, and so when she gave, when Lillian Fox had told her, like, she was like, this is terrible. Like, throw it out. You need to start over, start from scratch. And then she fucking used it and you and printed it as her own book.
That reminds me of that episode of Family Guy where Stewie was going out for like a comedy routine or whatever, and he'd written all these jokes, and Brian tells him that they're absolute garbage or whatever. And it was jokes that Stewie had tweeted on Twitter. Right. Brian didn't even know about Twitter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then, sure enough, Stewie's killing it. He's getting all this engagement, and Brian takes his fucking jokes and like reads them in a bar. Like, is literally scrolling through his Twitter, saying them word for word, bar, bar, bar. Like, but that's what they do.
Yeah, so she had killed him. And then she, Maria was like, when they had caught her, she was like, yeah, I killed Lillian Fox. And she deserved it. And
girl, her, and I was you ain't real. Because why you ain't say this shit a couple days ago?
Right. And she tried to kill Ellie. She, Ellie had figured out. Ellie thought that it was Nancy, the chauffeur, because she found out that Nancy had a drinking problem.
Wow, don't bring my drinking problem into this. Y'all are fucked up. I just like a good drinky drink.
She had found out that Nancy had a drinking problem, and she thought that... she thought that Lillian had found out that Nancy had a drinking problem, and Nancy confronted her, and then that's why she had killed her. So she went to the little chauffeur's office area, and she was snooping through her stuff. And then Maria came in, and she, like, confessed. She, like, started slowly. You know how they do that slow confession, and then the person
like it goes from, I don't know what you're talking about to like okay, yeah, I was there, me. But...
And then she was like, oh, but really, it was me. And the girl, and then Ellie turned around and was like, oh, my God, it was, you were the one. You know what I mean? It was you that had really did everything. So then they started fighting, and Ellie can't swim. So they fell, they fall, and they get outside, and then they fall into the water.
Damn.
And
at the resort, down to the resort,
she's yelling for help. And then there's a parrot that flies around the resort named Hemingway, and he starts yelling, squawking, because he can mimic people. So Ellie was yelling for help.
He recorded the murder.
No.
So
Ellie was yelling for help, so he started yelling for help, and so everybody came. And
damn, I thought he recorded the whole thing.
No, but so now the part two is now she's like still there. So the aunt, and this is so funny. So the whole time the aunt has missed all of this. The aunt is off.
The aunt is so mean. Okay, she don't even know her arch nemesis was plagiarizing people. She out. She's running the street. Yeah. She fool-la-la-ing around.
Yeah, the aunt was out. She had met some guy and was, like, off on a boat for days. So this whole time, Ellie's freaking out, worrying about the aunt, thinking she's kidnapped somewhere.
It's just like her daddy said.
Yep.
Just leave like that lady said. Alone.
She was like... I was out. Like, I met Earl, and he asked me if I wanted to go out on his boat.
You know what I'm saying?
And he was gone.
My parents are dead. I'm not worried about it. Period.
So, I'm excited. Yes. So, in the next book, it's called Seashells and Murder. Book two. Lord.
Y'all need to stay away from vacation spots.
So, Ellie's still there. She's still at the same resort, because she's going to be there for a while with her aunt.
How long is a while?
I don't know. She's gonna be there for Christmas and New Year's. So I think she gets there like just before.
So they had two murders back to back
at this resort
between the holidays.
It's time to check out.
Because you know
murder.
What I mean. What the fuck? I might leave after the first one, but we found out it was the May. They had beef. Like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like it could have been any one of us.
Right.
It was very specific. Why is there a second murder?
Yeah, in the second book, I believe it's like a cook-off. There's some sort of cook-off going on.
Not the guests killing each other.
And something's like, going on,
and this is so crazy to me because, like, I don't know, like, somebody activated it.
Yeah.
Like, that first murder said,
yeah, this is a murder.
That's how I'm a hand. Yeah. Any next person to try me? Yeah.
Oft.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they do it.
All we got to do is watch out for that one. And talking about Ellie.
Yes. Yeah. So, I'm excited to read book two. I am. I'm excited.
No, I'm going to be for real. Like, you know those Mahalia Watkins books I was reading? I would not eat at that damn soul food restaurant.
No.
I would never.
Girl, you too many people. I don't want.
You've been on the news three times in the last year for murders.
Not only would I not eat at that restaurant, I would not hang out with her because,
no,
girl,
I'm not your friend.
Follow you
I'm
around.
Not, you know what
girl.
I mean? I'm going to be next fucking with you.
Yeah.
No. Absolutely not. I am good
and
to read about
it. And that's what they
it.
Might be thinking about, Ellie. Like, bitch, how come ever since you came to this hotel?
I say we kick her out. I say we kick her out.
People started killing people. You got some sort of pheromone that's driving people crazy, bitch. You need to go.
Yeah. Something about you psychologically turns on the kill. They're like, you know what? I am going to off her.
Right.
No.
So... But it was really good. I'm excited to read the next book. That's Flip Flops and Murder by H.Y. Hannah.
And then
Seashells and Murder by H.Y. Hannah. And then I just started The Man Trapped by Shadow.
Yes.
By Pete Zacharias. And that is really good. We pick right up after the events of the last book. And Rooker is in a drunk... Just a drunk binge of stupid. He just keeps getting arrested. This
Period.
Is like his... He wakes up on a park bench. Like, he has passed out on the park bench and somebody has woken him up.
Mm.
And so he's in jail. He goes
Don't
to
wake
jail.
Me up.
Right, please.
Leave me alone.
They bring him, you know, to the drunk tank. And one of the... I think it was Tess... From the last book, she's like she was part of the team, the team that caught the serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
She gets him out of jail, like you know she get you know gets them to just let him out, you know, scot free or whatever. But
Period.
I guess, but I guess this has been a thing that he's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, when she drops him off at home, she's like, "This is the last time that I'm doing this for you."
Mm.
And so he was all pissed off and he was like, well, the next time you need someone to catch your serial killer, like, fuck off. You can get somebody else to do it.
No, I'm going to get you to do it.
And
and that's the part he don't get. Like,
right.
You want to do it so bad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even, you're going to start investigating a murder you don't even know happened in like 2 seconds. Like,
so I'm,
get out of here, bro.
You gotta pull yourself up out the trench.
You know how I feel about anti-heroes.
Right.
Oh, my God.
So.
I can't. Because I'm a sunshine person. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to. Like, I'm kind of dry. But I am overall a very optimistic sunshine person. And, like, those anti-heroes really be getting me. Because, like, you really want to do it so bad.
You know,
like,
you want to do it.
You are volunteering. Talking about some next time you need to. You better hope we have a serial killer to catch. So you have something to do.
Yes, so you don't drink yourself into a
stupor.
You know
what I'm saying?
And then, of course, I've been reading Under the Dome, and now this book, The Heat. Ooh, oh, my God.
It's heating up.
Heating up.
Don't tell me too much, because I know I'm not as far.
So,
I don't think.
No, I'm not. I haven't really, nothing to, and it, I haven't gotten into anything too crazy. So, you know.
I mean, the book is like a billion pages.
Yeah, right. So, you know, he's killed those two girls in the beginning, right?
Yes.
Why?
And then, come on, dude. He's a man. I'm not saying all men, but somehow always a man. So, yeah.
Yes. So then, now he done made him a deputy sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's
he
a
does
good
give
fucking
cop
idea.
Vibes. He does. I mean, come on, come on.
Yeah.
He got straight C's in high school.
Yes.
Yeah. He fits the bill. It was either that or ROTC. And depending on what kind of haircut they have, you can kind of tell.
Right. So now I'm up to the part where Julia Shumpway, she's the newspaper editor.
Mm.
She Colonel Ken.
Yeah.
He got in contact with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that he could get in contact with Barbie and tell him what's going on. And he was like, you know, if we cut the phones off and we don't want nobody, y'all talking to nobody from the outside.
Yeah, please don't tell anybody. There is a dome.
Yeah.
Over your city.
And
that's been killing everybody.
Right. And so now they're, like, really worried about the emissions of everything mm-hmm. because things are, you know.
They're sealed.
Right. They're sealed shut in there. So, like, particles can't get out. They said, like, a little bit of air and stuff can get through, but, like, mostly stuff, nothing can get through there.
Mm-hmm. So I was worried even, like, before I started the book, like, at what point would oxygen run out?
Right.
I hadn't even considered that people would still be, like, using carbon-emitted machines.
Right, like, you know, their, like, cars cooking. And stuff, and everyone's running their generators and everything.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fires.
Right. And so what's really blowing my mind right now is, like, nobody is even worried about this fucking dome. Like, everybody,
yeah.
Jim Rennie's like, oh, this big crisis like this, get people projected to being governor. It's like, sir, you want to
be the
die.
Governor in the fishbowl? Okay.
You might die in this fucking thing. Will. Talking about.
You're in a terrarium right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Talking about being like a governor chameleon. Or something. What is wrong with you? And so now he's like.
And you just know he's racist. Like, oh, you just absolutely, yeah. like, feel the racism yes. radiating off the mm-hmm. page. Like.
And so now he's, like, got control because he was second selectman, but the first selectman, Andy Sanders, his wife, Claudette, she's the one who died in the plane crash in the beginning.
Yeah.
So he's like a puddle of mud.
Same.
Right now.
Also.
Yeah, of course. And then his daughter is the other girl that little Jim Rennie killed. So he doesn't even know that yet.
I didn't know that. Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe I just didn't put two and two together.
So he's That's got nobody up. Right now. He doesn't even know that. He's like he's like falling apart.
Same.
And then the other.
Does he think his daughter's just missing or like?
He's not really. Well, and like in the book, it says like he's not really even thinking about her right now. He's just so
damn,
upset.
That's fucked up. You're terrible.
So upset that he calls her Claudie that she died. He's like, he's not even thinking about her right now.
Well, you know what's so crazy? I could have sworn she was having an affair with that pilot, with that flight instructor.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the vibe. They never said that, but that's the vibe. So, sorry to that man.
Sorry to that man. But yeah, so that's where I'm at. So now I've just like finished. They just introduced me to Libby Piper, Piper Libby. She's the one of the priests, one of the pastors at the two church. There's two churches in town, and she's the pastor at one of them.
Okay. Yep. I'm not that far.
Mm. But she is like questioning her beliefs now.
Yeah.
She does. She don't know if she believes in God or anymore or not. But she ain't telling nobody that. But she's like, that's
what?
Not in her
you
monologue.
Didn't even tweet that?
Yeah.
I'd have been like, she ate. Not the pastor.
Yeah. So she hasn't been, but she's just been like, I don't even, she's worried about what's going to happen on Sunday. She's like, everybody's going to come in here
mm-hmm.
looking for guidance and help. And she's
this
like,
would be a great opportunity to start a cult in.
Right.
I'm just saying. I would have had a field day with
well,
y'all.
Well, I feel like Jim Rennie and them is going to start a cult.
Yeah, but I would have done it quicker.
Because he got his little thumb on... the new acting sheriff, because the old Sheriff Perkins, his pacemaker got blown out in his chest. So he's gone. So now the new guy, Peter Randolph, he's like fucking Jim Rennie's butt buddy. And there they got those two gotta have take control of the town. He talking about shut down all, don't sell no alcohol to nobody.
What?
Yeah, he's like, this
that's like the one thing
sober.
I want. No,
yeah.
we don't.
Yeah.
No, we do not. No, we don't. Why? Why?
He told, because.
Don't piss me off.
Andy Sanders.
This is like
first
the very
selectman.
Situation that you would want to, like, maybe get a little loaded on. I feel.
At least for one night.
Like, if somebody, you look, now I can't speak on every drug, but like, if somebody's doing something, I'm going to look the other way. In this case, where there is a giant dome over part of the town.
Right.
And everybody's dying. like birds are falling out of the sky. Right. I feel like you can have a little drinky drink.
Right. And he's having Andy Sanders. Andy Sanders is the, he runs the pharmacy in town too. Mm-hmm. So he's like, don't sell anybody no pills or nothing either.
I can't even do a
And so the third selectman, I don't know if it's called third selectman, but the third person in charge of the town.
That's it.
Andrea, she is addicted to pills.
And you're going to take her pills away like that?
And so she was like
before the dump.
Yeah, she was a little freaked out. And Andy Sanders is like, it's okay, girl. Like, you're going to be okay.
Look, I got pills for you only. Yeah.
And now Jim Rennie, that from his little inner monologue. So he knows little shit about everybody in town.
That's how you do it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So who knows where. I could already see where this is. It's definitely going to be factions.
It's going to get real weird.
Into factions.
Yeah.
Town's going to break into factions. It's going to be the Jim Rennie group, the Barbie group, because they don't even know that he's still in town.
Yeah. They thought he left.
Yeah. But he did not.
Nope. And he's trying to get help from the outside.
Yeah. And you find out that the, whatever's generating the dome is coming from inside the town. That's why Colonel Ken wanted to talk to Barbie, because Barbie used to find bombs in Iraq. That's what he did. He looked for bombs in Iraq. So they were like, you need to find where the thing is being.
I don't
want
to find
it.
Why
that gotta be my job?
Get somebody else to do
to do it for real.
Literally. I just want to be holed up with my little drinky drink.
Yeah, leave me alone. Leave me out of it.
Maybe a perk 10 or two.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know. That don't got nothing to do with me.
And a little bit of food. Leave me alone.
So, I think we're definitely going to be playing like a race against time
mm-hmm.
for the dome to be.
Because they're definitely not going to stop driving their cars.
They're not going to do that.
Or doing anything.
No.
To help us.
And I think a lot of people are going to not even believe what's
going on. Why am I saying
on.
Us like I'm in the dome?
Right.
Sorry.
It's going to take people a while to really believe what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know there's going to be some super zealous people, you know what I mean, that are going to be going straight to the whole Jesus. They're going to be, this is a sign. They're going to be.
And Jesus don't know nothing about no glass dome. That's all I'm saying. Ask the people that know.
This is man-made. Yeah, somebody that did this.
Okay, this is the lizard people.
Yeah. So we'll see. It's definitely getting good, though. I'm excited to finish reading this. Well, no, it's not going to be for a while because this book is thick. But it is getting very good. And what is it? I think that was the last thing I read. Yeah, the pastor, she doesn't know she believes in God. That's where I left off.
Mm.
So that's going to be a problem already. I can see that.
Very much.
Mm-hmm. So we.
I'm screwed.
Yeah. Well, you already know. I'm. They're already introducing us into some like really nice characters.
Mm-hmm.
And you already know some of them not gonna make it.
No, we can't all make it.
Yeah,
but we can't all die first.
Right. So they're gonna really make you fall in love with some of these people.
That's how they do it. Just to rip them away.
Just to rip them away.
That's
yeah.
what I would do.
Because.
And I'm just mad because Ty knows.
Yes.
And Ty's not going to tell us.
No.
Fuck you, bro.
Fuck you, Ty. So we are going to take a quick break, and then when we get back, we're going to be talking to Mary Margaret.
Yay! Before we get into too much, we wanted to take an opportunity to thank our sponsor, the Anxious Tomato Art Gallery. The Anxious Tomato is more than a simple art gallery. Started by Ashley Laufer and Kate Roussel in their stride to connect with the local artistic community, the Anxious Tomato Art Gallery strives to provide more education and accessibility to art and artists in Tacoma and its surrounding areas. They aspire to be an experience for the public, ensuring that everyone leaves with a renewed view of art and the artists behind it. Their online presence allows for artists of various mediums to submit work, be recognized, and engage with the community. If you'd like to experience a new type of art gallery, support, engage, and donate to the Anxious Tomato at anxioustomato.com. That's anxioustomato.com. Thanks for listening. Now back to the show.
Right. All right, guys. We are going to start our interview with author Mary Margaret. Just want to introduce yourself, Mary Margaret.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I am an author from Alberta, Canada. I've written three novels and one funny little picture book about how my cat became famous in our town. But yeah, my series that I'm focused on mostly is called Time After Time. The first book is Backward, the second book is Forward, and the third book is Frozen, and it's a series, it's historical fiction with some romance and some like feminism and mental health throughout history. And it's about the same three souls, I guess, that keep meeting each other in different lifetimes.
That's yeah. Really cool. I like that.
So cool.
Well, thanks. Mm-hmm.
I do want to hear the story of how your cat became famous.
Yes.
he was an escape artist. He actually passed away last week. So We're kind of grieving that right now.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, he liked to get out and he loved people. He loved meeting people. He followed them home. He was very chatty for a cat. Like, he was very loud. And our town is, I don't know, a medium-sized town, but he's been all over it. Like, we have this map on the back of the book that we wrote about him that sort of has all the places in town that he has been. And
cute.
Some of his favorite haunts and businesses and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, a lot of people, he went missing for a couple days the one time, and he would go for a day and come back, and I would not worry too much. For the most part, we would try to keep him inside because, you know, you should as a responsible cat owner.
Mm-hmm.
He disappeared. And so I put just kind of this funny post on the town Facebook page for lost pets.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a long post, but basically calling him an a-hole, and like, it was meant to be funny. And a lot of people were like, oh, you need to, you know, start this Facebook account for your cat so we can all follow him and his antics.
Yes.
And, I did. Not that I ever wanted to be one of those people who like started a Facebook page for their cat.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more so like, if he got out, people could message me and be like, oh, we found Ben.
Right.
And so we'll pick him up. But yeah, it was crazy how many people knew him already and loved him. We're so excited to finally meet him if they got the chance, right?
Yeah.
He got sick a couple weeks ago when we did have to, you know, make a decision, which I was not, you know, super happy about. But
of course not.
Yeah. And his people in town, too, were all devastated. He used to like to visit this flower shop in town. And when they heard that he passed away, they actually sent this nice little arrangement to my work to, you know, say that they loved him and they're going to miss him too. So just
that's
stuff like
beautiful.
That. A lot of people reaching out. Yeah, it's been lovely.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Go, like a, Ben.
Yeah, he was so, so cute.
Yeah.
So we always like to start off with, what's a popular food in Alberta, Canada? What's your go-to food?
You know, people will tell you like Alberta beef is like the greatest. I don't eat a lot of beef though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We're pretty basic. I'm a single mom of teenagers, so it's like chicken fingers and anything that can fit in the air fryer.
Yes. yes.
Yeah, we try to expand our like horizons. There's a lovely Thai food place in town that we really like.
Oh, nice.
There we go.
Thai food.
Yeah. In Alberta, though, people will always be like, oh, you got to try the the Alberta beef. So I guess that's what I'll stick to.
There you go.
Yeah. I like the Thai food.
That's
myself.
What they say.
Right.
That's what they say. I'm not a fan, but, you know.
So what initially got you into reading? Have you always been a reader since you were a kid?
Yeah, I have. I remember even before I could actually read, I would pretend to read to my sister, like, books about, like, animals and stuff. And
so cool.
Yeah. I remember driving. I think it was, like,
this
to a dentist appointment.
Trust me. This is what it says.
Yeah.
Like, duh. Come on.
Look at these monkeys. This is what they're saying. but, yeah, growing up, I always just, I guess, that form of escapism that, you know, is popular. I loved reading. I loved finding new stories. I loved fan fiction of, like, the shows I was watching.
Yes.
That was, like, my thing was Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan fiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, yeah, just it's always been. And then when I was, like, 16, I found, like, I don't know, romance novels and different genres that I had never read before. So, yeah, I was always reading. Yeah.
That's awesome. I think it's safe to say you were always a storyteller, too.
Yeah, well, because I was
so
making
funny.
Them up. Before.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember when it was like grade 2, I think, was the first time a teacher had ever been like, oh, this is a really good story. And just like the swelling of my heart.
Literally.
Of her telling me that my Halloween story was like the best one in class. So
I
like,
know.
Yay.
It's like we chase that high the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
Like,
really? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So are you a physical book reader? Do you do digital books? What kind of media do you read?
I prefer physical. Always have. You know, I'm a book sniffer. I'll admit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. There's just something about having it in your hand and like getting that page flip ready when you're getting to the end of one page and your fingers are already in the next one and you're like, Yeah. I don't know. Just the anticipation.
Right. Especially if it's a part that's like really building up the tension. And you're like, oh my God, what's going
to
happen next?
Or sometimes I'll flip and see how much is left in a chapter. And I'm like, okay, yeah, no, we're not getting to the bottom of this.
Exactly. Do I have time for the no? I don't.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's already 12 o'clock.
And I like
really
seeing my progress, like how far I've read in a book, like on my Kindle, mm-hmm. even like I can see it, but it's different when you can see it.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm a physical book. I don't think I've ever read, actually. I have the Kindle app on my phone, but I haven't actually downloaded a book yet because I have my TBR is all physical. So I'm trying to get through those, I guess, before
there we
I
go.
Dive
into anything else. Yeah.
And you're opening up a whole nother world with Kindle. Like, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
It's bad. And I can lie to myself and say that it's not so much.
Right,
because
like,
it's on like
not that long,
yeah, it's on
really
my devices.
Dabble.
Like I read on my phone, my iPad. Like
yeah,
no,
yeah, and that's I feel like that's another thing too where I don't want to. I spend so much time looking at my phone for other things. Mm-hmm. I don't want to like be staring at it for this too. Right?
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah. I'm gonna get jail time for my screen time. It's really bad.
So, where's your go-to place to get books in Alberta?
We love actually visiting our little free libraries here in town.
Nice.
Yeah. And I work at a school and we have a lot of readers also who work there. And every so often someone will leave like a stack of books that they're done with. So free books are the best books in my opinion.
Absolutely.
But if I like we're making a trip to the city or something, we go to a Chapters Indigo there and we'll look around and touch everything we can, of course.
Yeah. Gotta do that. I mean, it's just fun to do, you know.
It is, yeah.
Like a little treat.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So do you have a favorite genre of book?
I do. The ones that I love to read are usually thrillers that you get to the end of and it makes you question everything you just read.
Mm.
It just like Fs with your mind, like, oh. Last year I read The Wives by Taryn Fisher and it blew my mind when it, like, you're reading this, like, oh, this doesn't make, I don't understand what's going on. It doesn't make sense. I don't understand. And then you get to the end, I'm like, everything makes sense now.
Yeah. Because it
was sort of all in her brain instead of what was actually happening. And it's like, whoa. Yeah,
now, did it wrap it up nicely? Because sometimes I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's done well and they explain everything, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I felt like that book absolutely did.
Okay.
It ended in a weird, spoiler alert, but like she's murdering someone at the end, but it did explain everything beautifully.
Nice.
By the end of the book. So.
I'm like, oh, I get it. You're crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Basically. You're like, oh, you've been crazy this whole time.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, right? It was all in, basically the whole story was kind of something that happened in her brain, and it was a delightful mind F at the end there.
I like
that. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably my favorite genre is the thrillers. And I'm not a big, like, horror book fan. I won't sleep for days, but the psychological thrillers I like.
Yeah, I always stop just short of horror because I'm like, oh, that look.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to see my own reflection in the window and, like,
yeah,
jump.
Freak, right? Yeah.
And I already do that.
Right. I already live.
I'm
pretty
already
much
pretty
by
jumpy.
Myself,
yeah.
And I don't need to. Need to scare myself.
Single mom, it's just me and my kids, and I'm supposed to be like the protector of the
right.
house.
No!
I can't do that if I'm hiding under my blanket.
No, literally, no. Just people existing around me is scary. Like, you have to announce yourself.
Yeah, don't be sneaking up on me.
I feel like I get run up on a lot.
Yeah, you need a collar with a bell, like a cat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, do you have any favorite author or multiple favorite authors?
I do. My actual favorite author, she doesn't write horror or anything. It's actually Elizabeth Gilbert. She wrote Eat, Pray, Love. And,
I was going to say that name sounds familiar.
Yeah. I love her. And it wasn't until I like discovered her that, cause I had been reading my whole life, but when I read, her books, I was like, her writing is the way my brain like thinks.
Mm.
So that's kind of how I fell in love with like her style of writing. So yeah, Elizabeth Gilbert is my favorite go-to. She doesn't write the genre but I love her books anyway.
That is so interesting. Like I hear a lot of people say that they pick authors because of their writing style, but hearing that it's because like your inner dialogue works the same way
is
really
absolutely cool.
I want to find mine.
Yeah.
I don't think that my thoughts are in my own voice though, which is also kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause who is that?
Yeah.
But. I want to find
so, so do you, what draws you to a particular story when you're looking for a book, when you're scanning the shelves?
Generally, it's the title. It's kind of a combination, I guess. Like, if the title, and then you look at, like, you look at the cover, whether it looks intriguing or not. Reading the blurb on the back is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of driven to like a female driven character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of a dual POV though. I find, and the reason is because like, I find that you're getting to like a good part in this one point of view. And then the next chapter is another point of view and you have to wait, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that frustrates me. So it has to be done very well. Otherwise, I won't read a dual POV, but
would you say that it's better if maybe they just like completed a story arc for one character and then just moved to the next POV? Like, would that make it better or?
It would, but I don't know that. In most cases they can't because they're trying to get that suspense. They
Correct.
Want you to flip.
Yeah,
the
they're following the same plot anyway. Okay.
Exactly. I don't want to know what's going on across town. I want to know what happened now.
Yeah, exactly. I need us to finish this.
Yeah, yes. I need you to finish this now.
Yes, exactly.
So that kind of draws us to our next question. What kind of draws you away from a story?
Ooh,
what do you like?
This is my favorite.
What do you hate to read?
That is good. I don't often, like we said, I kind of avoid horror because I like to sleep at night. But I'm not a big fan of Colleen Hoover. I think the only book that
Finally.
I haven't...
I'm sorry. I thrive off negativity.
I think we've both been like, I don't know about her. I haven't read any of her books, but I'm just so suspicious of her.
The speed with which she came out of nowhere is suspicious to me.
Yeah.
It feels like industry plant.
Yeah. A little bit. I don't know. I think I got a third of the way into one of her books and I was like, this isn't pulling me. This isn't drawing me.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've heard about her other books, it's kind of a lot of like, I don't know, toxic relationship stuff.
I guess
because of my own past trauma, I don't want to.
I don't want to relive it. You said,
girl, I already wrote that book. We're good.
Right? You bet. So, Colleen Hoover, I guess, is.
Yeah, I'm not a rom-com or toxic rom-com fan. Yeah.
I feel that. If there's an element of it into a book, that's fine. It just can't be. That can't be the thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to get really angry. And it does get tired really quick because I'm like, okay, we're not learning from any mistakes. No self-reflection.
Yeah, there's no growth. There's just no vibes. Character growth. Right.
they're always just like, I just felt like this was the right thing, so I just did it. And you're like, girl, think it through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I need you to stand up.
Who is your mother?
Like, no, literally. Yes.
Yeah.
So do you have any favorite tropes or least favorite tropes?
I don't. Tropes are hard for me. I don't know. That's not the reason I generally will pick a book. But yeah, no, not really. I will go with the flow for the most part, I guess, is what I'll say to that. Right.
I can see that. I think I don't pick books based on tropes themselves either, but I do know when I don't like something.
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead.
It just tends to be the same things over and over again. And I'm like,
yeah, it kind of does. I don't even know. I know a lot of people don't like love triangles or like that kind of stuff. If it's in the book and if I find the book interesting, the tropes aren't going to bother me.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Right.
There we go. You got your priorities in order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see. So what's your go-to book recommendation? What's the one book that you're always like, you got to read this one?
It would depend. I'm such a person that like, I don't like to push my opinions on people. So I'll ask them like what they're into before I'll like recommend.
Mm-hmm.
I have been though, like I said earlier, Taryn Fisher's The Wives. I loved it. It's the first one I've read in a few years that I'm like telling everyone about who reads.
Mm-hmm.
It was delightful. My go-to, I guess I have two that I will go back and reread all the time, probably once a year. The first one is the Eat, Pray, Love by Elizabeth Gilbert. As I said, it's how my brain like thinks. So I find that I pull something different from it every time I read it. I don't know if I'm like in a different place in my life.
Right.
Or the second one is I love Pride and Prejudice. Jane Austen,
yes.
Like super classic. Just something about the old like way of talking and thinking and it is kind of a love story, but it's also like strong female, which for that time was kind of, you know, not very common, I guess.
Mm-hmm, so, no.
Yeah.
And I love the dialogue in there. Like they have really good like points were made.
Yeah, absolutely.
I get gagged by Pride and Prejudice every time. I'm like, oh, that's good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say that.
Absolutely.
So, what are you currently reading right now?
I am not reading because I'm writing. I have this thing where I'm terrified, where I'm going to take something if I'm reading at the same time. I'm going to accidentally take an idea. Or a thought, or a trope, or a something, and put it into what I'm writing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a break from reading right now to write, to work on the next book in my series. But the next one on my list is actually, Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, the prequel to The Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
that Suzanne Collins put out a couple years ago now. It's been sitting on my shelf forever. And yeah, so that's, I think, the next one that I'm going to dive into when I have a break from writing.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Is that like before they got into the Hunger, like what got them to the Hunger Games point?
Yeah, it's actually, I think, based on like a young President Snow, I believe, when he was in the Hunger Games himself, right?
Yeah.
And sort of what got him to become who he was. Yeah.
Kind of the equivalent of a corporate sellout, if you think about it.
Yeah, love that.
And then he got caught. Damn. Like, that's crazy.
Oh, nice. So that leads us right into this. What can we talk about your book? Can you tell us all about your book and your series?
So yeah, it's a weird concept that came out of a dream I had when I was like 16. And yeah, it's about, the first book is set in the late 1700s, and it is about this female who sort of feels like she has no control over her life until she meets a man and they fall in love, but then things happen and they don't end up together. And trigger warning, there is like suicide at the end. And then the second book actually is them meeting up in another lifetime in 1910 New York City. So, yeah, and again, it doesn't end well because there is a third party that has also come along with them into this new lifetime that also keeps them apart in that lifetime. And then similar but different ending, I guess. And then the third book is the same two people in, or souls, I should say, maybe, because they're not the same people. but meeting up again in the 1970s in, Savannah, Georgia, I believe is where I set that one. Nice. But it moves around a little bit. Yeah. That's sort of the series in a nutshell. It's, yeah, the same three souls that kind of keep meeting up in different lifetimes. And the point of it, I think, was when I'm a teaching assistant, and when I was going through my courses and stuff in college, a lot of it had to do with mental health and sort of the history of mental health and how it's not been dealt with very well throughout history. And so I wanted to put that into the book series as well, and how, you know, a person who was suffering back then was institutionalized or just sort of, they're the crazy lady, right? And I did want to touch on that. So sort of moving forward, things that happened in the past books will sort of be, I guess, touched on again in the coming book. Yeah,
kind of like as though that mental health service is like progress, I guess. Okay.
Yeah. And the characters themselves are going to sort of look back on things that happened in their past lives and be like, oh, this makes sense now, right? So.
Are they like aware that they are reincarnated? Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, I like that.
Like, I'm going to bring up something you said to me 100 years ago. I'm just saying. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like you said it, and I'm still mad.
Yeah, I'm still upset about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything if they don't remember. I'm sorry. Right? That doesn't help us.
True. Absolutely. Yeah. They're aware. They, you know, they aren't until they like see each other for the first time.
And yeah, kind of like activate.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I would be so mad.
You again.
Like, you again. Oh God, here we go.
Yeah.
And so have you been working on this, though? Has it always been something you were kind of working on in the background?
Yes. I probably picked away at it. I didn't tell anyone for probably 10 years. And my kids knew because they would see me writing like late at night, like just hunched over my keyboard, see these pages and like, what are you doing?
No, you can't hide it from your kids. Oh my God.
Yeah, no. No, so they knew about it, but that was pretty much it. And then when COVID happened, I was like, oh, I got laid off from my job, so now I have all this time. So I looked into publishing, and I was like, I don't want to wait 4 years to maybe do it traditionally. Do the self-published route.
There we go.
And yeah, that's when it wasn't until I got like the first, because I released the first two books at the same time. and yeah, it wasn't until I like published them and I got like the author copy sent to me that I like created this Facebook video to sort of announce to everyone like, hey, I did a thing, right? And yeah, so that was the big, I guess, 10 years of work sort of finally came into fruition. Yeah.
Nice. Oh, that's crazy.
Something good came out of COVID.
I would that's freak good. Out.
Yeah, it did. That's what a lot of people are like, ah, COVID sucked. It did suck. I mean, people are dying everywhere.
Right.
But I didn't mind being at home and just hanging out with my kids and going for walks and publishing my books.
Right. So, yeah, exactly. Like we all kind of had to hit the pause for a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So where can we find your book?
They are all available on Amazon and Kobo, and they are on sale right now on Kindle, actually. So
nice.
People want to check them out. They are there for 99¢.
Have a Kindle.
Nice. Yeah. We're definitely going to be getting those. Mm-hmm. So do you have any, what's your Facebook or your Instagram, all that jazz?
All of it is Mary Margaret Author. Mary underscore Margaret underscore Author.
Nice.
And yeah, should be plastered with my face and my books, pretty much.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, we'll definitely put a link to that in the show notes. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I was really excited when you reached out.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And you guys are hilarious. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. and we'll definitely be picking up those books for sure. We'll be getting those. More. Yeah, you have a great night.
You guys too. Thank you so much. Take care.
Bye. You too.
Bye.
She was awesome.
So warm and nice.
Yes.
Ugh. Oh. And I'm so interested in those books. I'm telling you, that reincarnation shit, I'm not fucking around.
I like that she keeps them aware of it.
Yeah.
So that they can come back to it.
Especially when they meet the villain again. They're like, oh no.
Yeah.
He's followed us again.
Mm-hmm. And like way different times. Yeah. You know what I mean? Each time they come back is like super different.
Yeah. I'd be so mad though. Especially like what if we came back and like I saw you and I didn't agree with your politics. Like, I cannot believe
that's
this is
you
what you've become.
For.
Oh my God. Why are you wearing that?
I was just about to say, what are you wearing?
Like, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
Oh, I gotta start all over again.
I don't like this new you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm definitely gonna pick those up. And for 99 cents,
Gotta do it. I don't make the rules.
Listen, if it's 99 cents, you have to buy it.
Because why am I not buying it?
Right.
Why don't I have it already?
That's almost like missing out. Like, it's like throwing money away.
I feel like a thief.
Right.
Me personally. I feel like I stole these books.
Before we get out of here, we want you to head over to The Anxious Tomato. This is the last week of Chris Bevan.
Yes. Go see his work, you guys.
Yeah.
Beautiful. What material does he use? I can't remember if it was drawing or painting.
I think it's drawing.
Yeah. It looked drawy.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to assume.
Yeah, I think it's drawing.
I love the texture in his work.
Yeah, but you can head over there to theanxioustomato.com or you can head over to chrisbevins.com and his website and check it out. He's got his whole bio and stuff in there.
Amazing. Amazing self-portrait.
Yeah.
Amazing figure.
And then head over. I'm about to head over to the Locust Cider's gallery night for Robin McQuay.
Yes. Head up gallery night at Locust Cider.
We are this. Well, this comes out. Robin, I believe, will still be up. She's going to be up till the end of March. So you still got time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is kind of like a long month.
Mm-hmm. So head over there and check her out. And then a previous guest of ours, Amy Lewis, the fine arts painter.
Yeah.
She's got an art reception going on at ArtCo, another one of our sponsors.
Oh, nice.
She's
going
to be there in April.
Didn't Ashley have a show there?
Yeah.
Nice.
So we're going to definitely check that out. She's got a show. Check her out. She's super Ames on Instagram, and all her stuff will be there in the links to everything. And then, of course, check us out on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, what are you reading podcasts on Instagram.
Yeah. Tell us what you're reading. Yeah. Do the questionnaire. Do something. I don't know.
Yeah. Do the questionnaire so that you can be a guest on the show.
Maybe.
And then you could head over to our Facebook page, too, if you guys want to drop some comments.
Yeah. Talk books with us. Join the private group.
Yeah.
All that.
All that jazz. And we will talk to you guys next weekend.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.